You're listening to the Assistance Together podcast.
It's not really just a job. It's a career. It's something that if you put the time and effort in, you will reap the rewards.
Hi, I'm Henrietta Barker, and you're listening to the Assistance Together podcast, a weekly interview podcast with people who tell their stories really candidly and who share their insight into being an assistant.
Would you like to hear the episode before it goes out?
Or are you... No, please don't.
Sherwin Wiebert is my guest this week, a South African-based C-suite executive assistant. With over 12 years of cross-industry experience, Sherwin is an accomplished professional with numerous awards and accolades, including PA of the Year.
I had finished my formal schooling, and I was quite into sport. I represented the country in swimming, so that took up quite a bit of my time. Went to varsity and studied sports science. That didn't really interest me. And then my mom said to me, listen, you either study or you work, or you do something.
Sherwin is also an advocate for men in the profession. Having faced discrimination when applying for roles, he is committed to discussing his experiences in order to raise awareness for other men. A mentor for ASIPO, a South African-based charity that works with young people to access funding and mentorship to enter the administrative profession. Here's our conversation.
She then asked me to come and it was just to earn some money. She said, come in and do some admin. And I did some admin with them. And it slowly snowballed. So I did some there. And then I thought to myself, you know what? It's something that I could get into. It's something that I enjoyed. I mean, I was the type of person who was always trying to make sure everything was right and in the alphabetical order and all of those things. So what happened was I moved from there to my first role as an administrator. I was there for 2 years, and the then PA or EA left on maternity leave, and they said to me, would you like to fill the role? It was going to be 6 months, and I said, yeah, no, sure, I'm quite keen to do it. I said to them, I got no formal training, I've never ever been an EA or PA before, and they said to me, no, here's a list of the things we want you to do, and I'm sure once you get used to it, you'll be fine. That was 17 years ago, I stepped into the role.
That sounds so lucky that you started the job and loved it. I had such the opposite experience in life that I had to try loads of different jobs to find out what I was even good at, let alone actually building a career in it. That seems like a very fortunate turn of events for you.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, it wasn't my dream job, but it is my dream job now. And it is a dream career. I say to lots of people, I say, what I do now is not just a job, it's a career for me. I've put in the hard yards and I've put in the time. For people to say, oh, it's just a job, really irritates me.
Yeah.
Because it's not really just a job. It's a career. It's something that if you put the time and effort in, you will reap the rewards tenfold. And I've definitely seen in my career reaping those rewards.
Yeah, that's an interesting distinction, isn't it? This somehow attitude of it is just a job. And I know, of course, I can't speak for everyone, but I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking about the distinction between a job and a career and what a career means and how we identify what our careers look like. Did you have an idea and a sort of goal early on as to where you would like to be or how it would feel your work to you? Were you quite aware of that quite early?
I think it took me about 4 years. I think after my first role, and after knowing exactly what it entailed, because I always say to people, you can't go into something and not know what you're in for. You've got to actually make a concerted effort to like understand the role, to know what it entails, to know how to be the best at what you are. And after my first role, I actually sat down and I went, what are the aspects of my of myself that I can improve in order to be the best at what at this job, then job, now career, I can be. And I started plotting a plan for myself in terms of how I wanted to get there. Obviously, it included upskilling and making sure I was abreast of whatever was going on. But yes, to answer your question, I did actually see a career for me, or did see a career path in becoming an assistant. It wasn't going to be a stepping stone. I think a lot of people also think of EAs or PAs using it as a stepping stone to get into other operational roles or management roles, where to me, I am a manager in my own right. I mean, I manage the manager. I make sure that things happen when they should happen. So it's a career for me. Career was clearly defined the moment I decided that it was going to be for me.
Yeah, it makes me so happy that you had a strategy about how you were going to do it. It's something I talk about a lot, about this idea of being really intentional about where you want your career to go as an assistant. Because it seems from my perspective that there are lots of people who can influence your career. Recruiters, you know, hiring managers can tell you that this kind of job is a good idea, this one's great, or you won't be able to get this kind of role, but you might be more suited to this. And while those opinions can be useful, I feel like people having a clear identity and understanding of what they want from their roles makes such a huge difference to the outcome of where your career is going to be. So I'm fully on board with this strategy.
Yeah, no. I know the feeling of hiring managers saying, oh, this is not really suited for you. I mean, I'm a male working in a female dominated industry. And I remember back to my second role that I applied for. And I always tell the story. I phoned in and I said, I'm actually applying for the EA role that you guys advertised. And the then recruiter said to me, are you phoning behalf of your sister or are you phoning behalf of someone else? And I said to them, I'm actually phoning on behalf of myself. And they then said, you know what role it is for? And it's just like, it's those stereotypes that people have associated with the role, and having a clearly defined career path and sticking to it and knowing what you need to do to get there helps you overcome those obstacles. Yeah. I mean, I could have so easily given up and said, you know what, this is really not for me. But I had a picture in my head of where I was going to be, and nothing was going to stop me from getting there. And it was just a speed bump in my road to becoming who I am today.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's, like you said, if you have a good understanding of where you want to be, you tend to be more resilient too, don't you, for those sort of setbacks or disappointments in our careers. If you know where you're going, that eye on the prize is definitely there.
Yeah, resilience is a big thing. And being able to have the resilience and have the drive, that word is big for me too, have the drive and the tenacity to actually do and go and get out of your comfort zone. So many of us actually, we hide within that comfort zone. And I always go back to Lucy Brazier, and she's got a slide that she does when she does some training, and it says, the magic happens outside the comfort zone.
Sure.
And I've got that up in my on my desk. I've got it up in my office, where that's where you want to go. You want to be outside your comfort zone, because once you're outside your comfort zone, you get to be exceptional versus normal or ordinary.
And what does being outside your comfort zone look like for you in your career now? What kind of things have you seen that have maybe changed in the last few years in the role?
So, I mean, 8 years ago, you didn't really have assistants sitting and assisting with strategic things. Assistants were the three T's: typing, travel, and telephone assistants. Yeah, and what you see now is you see assistants more as strategic partners, or more as strategic assistants. I'm not going to say partners because not everyone sees it in the same light.
No.
You might have a manager who sees it as a partner and some might just see it as a strategic assistant, where assistants can then take parts of the business and actually run with it without having the title, or we can do the work.
Yes, I understand.
And to me, that has changed over the last few years as assistants have run with a lot more than what they used to. Assistants are doing a lot more strategic thinking and implementation in business, where before you were sat outside your boss's office and you waited for instruction. We're a lot more proactive at the moment in terms of looking at what needs to be done within the business or how it needs to be done. I'm not saying everyone is at that point, but I'm saying that's where the market's going at the moment. And if you want to stay ahead of the market and ahead of the curve, you kind of need to start thinking in that light.
How did you start? Just interested, I suppose, how you began to realize that or recognize it.
I was lucky enough to have executives that saw my potential.
Yeah.
And I think what is missing in the world is that not everyone thinks the same way, but the few that do think that way are very hard to come by. And EAs don't often have a manager who appreciates who they are. I was lucky enough to have two of them in my career who actually said to me, you could do more than this.
Yeah.
And they actually pushed me to be more and do more, where I said, oh, I don't think I could do this. They said, take 3 days and look it over and bring back what you think I should do. They weren't going to implement it, but it got me thinking. Mm-hmm. They stimulated the strategic side of my brain, I say, in terms of how they welcomed input. It wasn't just I don't need your input. You just here to do tasks I want to do. I was given things to run with and then said, listen, think about where we're going to be in 3 months' time and draw up a plan, because I want to be able to present it to someone and say, in 3 months' time, this is where we're going and this is what I think we should do. And then bringing that back and then having the conversation about why it's wrong or why it's right, and then also just recognizing the talent or recognizing my talent was a big thing in saying, listen, yes, you're not female. Yes, you don't have an MBA behind your name, but you could still do all those things because your brain works in a certain way and you're right for the job. So, yeah.
That allowed you to start seeing yourself like that, do you think?
Yes, very much so. I think it allowed me to take off the 3T hat and actually put on a strategic hat and go, you know what? I'm not an everyday tea typing secretary. They did an assessment, and I think there's something like over 300 different titles for assistants worldwide.
Yeah.
And the one that really bugs me is secretary, because I mean, it's so 1970 or so 1950.
Yeah.
So take off the secretary's hat. If you like the title secretary, that's fine, go with it. But take off the thinking around being a secretary, the sitting outside the office, the bringing the coffees and the teas or taking telephone calls or messages and things like that, and start thinking strategically. Start thinking along the lines of how else could I contribute? And that's what I started doing. Is I wasn't just thinking about my day job. I was thinking about what else could I do to support this person that I'm supporting in the best way possible. And if that is taking off some work from them or lightening up their load, let's do that, because that's how you learn. To me, it is, you learn the time you learn the most is when you do. You could sit in class for as many hours a month as possible, and on the job training or on the job mentoring is so much more. And them seeing that in me and mentoring me and giving me things to do has obviously raised my game and enabled me to think of myself in that way of being more of a strategic assistant or partner. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like because it is your career, it's a commitment long term to continue to find those things that challenge you and interest you. And the one thing that I feel about assistants careers is that the breadth and scope for different types of roles, different types of businesses, different levels of involvement, depending on, you know, what part of your career and life you're in, what you want at that point, is so exciting. I mean, the opportunities and the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, you go back 20 years and you were limited to between A and B. You're now sitting at a point where you could go from A to Z in a matter of months. And all it takes is the right mind frame. The scope is there. The roles are out there. It's just making sure that, again, you think about it in the right mind, in the right mindset. You think about it as a career, because the moment you start thinking about it as a career, it opens up horizons to you, thought horizons that you go, oh, I could actually do that. And I could actually do that. But when you start thinking about a job, what you start doing is you start chasing the next paycheck and you start chasing the next high, I call it. But as in a career, and people that are fastidious in their careers or they're set in what they're going to be doing, often say, you know what, it's not about the money, but it's about me developing myself. Yes, the money is secondary to it, but it's me developing myself to be where I want to be in 10 years. So I've got a progression plan for myself in place this is where I'm going to be in year 3, this is year 5, this is year 10, and then working towards it. And then taking all opportunities that actually present themselves, whether they're big or small, and running with them. Because you never know after you do something what it might lead to.
Yes. Yeah, the small opportunities often tend to be what you perceive as small, tend to be the ones that have the most scope, actually, in my experience. It's quite strange.
Yeah, no, it's often those little ones that you do, that you brush to the back, that often lead to more, to bigger and better things. It's the one thing I don't do is shy away from a challenge. Even if it's a small challenge, try and do your best and then see where it takes you.
And I'm interested in this, the challenge aspect of it, because, you know, we have spoken when we first spoke, the first time we spoke about being a male in a very female heavy or dominated environment and your perspective on it. I feel like, you know, I can remember when I started recruiting for these roles, we did speak about secretaries, but we actually took everybody that registered with the agencies to come out to meet the team. So we would all meet everybody that was registering for kind of jobs. And there was never any men, never ever. And when I started my own business, it was still 6 months before I met a man who was applying for an executive assistant role.
Yeah.
That's just how rare it was then. And I'm excited by the developments that are happening. I just wonder what your experience was.
If you take 2% off all males that enter the admin industry, it's only about 2% of them that probably move on to becoming EAs or business managers, all of those things, because of the stigmatism attached with it. And in school, majority of the typing classes and all of those things were done by females. So you wouldn't have the males coming through. But I mean, and I talk about the South African market, we probably, worldwide, there's probably about, I think the split 98% 98% versus 2%, 98% female versus 2% men, where in South Africa, it's probably more 99% female, 1% male. And overcoming that, to me, was another step in becoming the best at what I needed to be. I couldn't sit back and say, well, I'm not going to get the role because they're looking for a female. I went out there and looked for the executives or the MDs or the managers that were actually looking to change things. And I was, again, I was lucky enough to have two of them in my life that actually said, you know what, I don't really want to go with the norm. Let's break the norm and let's see how you do. I'll give you a chance and you show me what you've done. And I mean, I worked for them for over 10 years between them. And it was during those 10 years that I actually started advocating for males to enter the industry. Because I saw it gave me insight into what it could be. I remember going to a conference in the US, and I think it was 2016, and it was an administrative conference, and they split it into two. So they had the administrators on the one side and they had the EAs on the other side. So the first morning we arrived, everyone's in this great grand wall, and there's about 3,000 people sat there. And they have the opening speech and they have the opening a keynote address. And then they say, okay, fine, we're not going to split down. We're going to go admins go left, EAs go right. And I walked in and I saw it was the most males I've ever seen at an admin conference. There's about 300, 400 of them sat down. And I go, yes, finally, I see some change. And they then say, okay, left is for admins, right is for EAs. And I end up being number one, the only one going the EA route, and the rest of them all going left to the admin side. And I spoke to them during the break and I said, why haven't you guys moved over to becoming EAs or stuff? And they're like, well, it's not really what we do yet. We're administrators, we earn a salary. The PAs and the EAs and the high-flying EAs are all female. They all want females. And I said, well, I'm an EA and I quite like what I do. And that was an eye-opener for me, just seeing the number of people that are actually in the industry, but then the few that actually take the baton and then actually step up and say, you know what, this is not only for females, it's males could do it just as well.
It just seems incredibly sad to me that we're still facing these difficulties.
Yeah, no, I mean, There is a very heavy gender bias in the industry, and it is skewed towards females. And you know what? That's fine. But what I am really proud about is the fact that these ladies on the other side, however they identify, are welcoming of males in the industry. Yeah. It's so refreshing because often when you have that gender split, or that gender bias within a profession or an organized or a organization, what happens is they tend to segregate the other side of the bias. Mm-hmm. Where what we've had in the last few years across the EA community is women actually and ladies actually welcoming guys on and saying, you know what, it's so nice to see guys. It's so nice to finally meet another EA that's male. I know we did something a while back. There was a hashtag going around saying not just a girl's job.
Yeah.
And it was so nice to see people support us. And men coming out and putting the hashtag down saying it's not just a girl's job, it's not just a female job. So there is a heavy gender bias, but the nice thing is, like I say, it's the other side of the bias is actually welcoming of the minority.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I understand completely. In the last few years, has that been your experience?
Definitely. I mean, it's still, I think the psychology behind recruiting managers are still that it is a female role. Mm-hmm. When I applied for the role that I'm currently in, I went for an interview at the very same firm. I think I was the better candidate, knowing who got the other job, because I had obviously worked with them being from the same company.
Yeah, sure.
Knowing that I was probably a better candidate and a better fit for the role, I was dismissed because of me being male. You couldn't obviously have a male assistant, didn't really sit right. And then I think it's also because of what history dictates. So the person's previous assistant was female, the one before that was female, the one before that was female. And there's no breaking that lineage. I want to continue doing what I was doing because it worked. And I'm not prepared to kind of like go outside of that in case it doesn't work. And I think that's where it is, because lots of people are scared of actually taking a chance. Even though I could probably put down all of my experience, all of the certification I have, all of the experience I have, you're probably still going to go, actually, I want a female because I feel more comfortable with it. And that's fine. If that's what you feel, then that's fine. But don't let it affect your judgment in terms of you cannot do the role. People shouldn't be giving the feedback in terms of, oh, they don't think you can do the role, because you can do the role. It's just because they're conditioned to having it a certain way that they want to keep it that way.
The most important part of that, to really reassess our own unconscious bias towards a preference of who's going to be in a role, what we expect from somebody in a role.
I think it is quite disheartening for people trying to actually get into the industry, especially males trying to making a concerted effort to get in. I think if you don't have the determination to actually just keep on keeping on and applying for those roles, even though you're not going to get them, and just putting yourself out there for people to, I think every time you put yourself out there, you kind of set yourself up for criticism, and for people to judge you based on a gender bias, or an unconscious gender bias towards you. But yeah, I think what it does is it drives males out of the industry, and it drives males to other avenues, where we should be thinking of, you know what, let's open the role up to he, she, whatever you identify as, not because of your gender, but because of how well you do the job.
Absolutely.
And once we move to that, you're hired on merit and merit alone, or certification and whatever. If you want to base it on how many certificates I have or what experience I have, that's fine. But don't base it on a gender preference, because once you start doing that, you start alienating a large population of the industry that might have done a better job. But because of that alienation, people aren't as willing or as open to apply for those roles or actually get into the industry. Think about what's been going on in the last, I would say, 18 months around diversity and inclusion, and how big that topic's become off the back of whatever's happened on the various continents. I would say we need to start thinking about diversity first. Diversity to me also means higher on merit, and not only because of what happened in the past. I think we so often jump to what happened, what worked in the past should work now, that we don't go to that thinking of, actually, let's diversify the workforce. Let's hire in people that don't necessarily apply for these roles, but have the same skills to do the role and have the experience in doing the role. Let's take the chance and diversify our workplace or our profession, and then let's see where it goes, because diversity and inclusion is only going to make the world a better place. Because I think in diversity and in inclusion, you start creating a more collaborative workforce.
Yeah.
You don't have silos anymore. People aren't clinging to certain cliques of the population or of the gender. You have cross collaboration. You start getting ideas, and you start creating answers that are so much more beneficial to the company than just sticking to a certain gender or race or stereotype within that profession.
I couldn't agree with you more. I really appreciate you being so candid about your experiences. That element of being able to talk about it is what changes things. If you hadn't ever talked about those experiences, if you hadn't ever been able and confident in a way enough to share it, then we lose out on understanding what other people are facing and dealing with in this industry and in this space. So I'm super appreciative that you've been able to talk to me about it today. Thank you.
It's only a pleasure. I always say that I want my experiences to lighten the load of someone else. So yeah. me talking about being segregated or being dismissed for a role because I'm male or whatever, it actually, a lot of the time people listening to it will go, actually, I'm going through exactly the same thing, so I'm not alone. And it's that feeling of inclusion, or that feeling of someone else has been through that, so it's not just me, that often helps people. Yeah. And to me, another part of it is helping. I make sure that I try and share what knowledge I have with people who need it. And to empower people in terms of my what happened to me, my past, my experience, and how I got to be where I am and where I want to go, and showing them that you don't have to do it exactly the same way I did it, but if you put your mind to something and you put the effort in, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your race, your color, your gender, you could do whatever you put your mind to. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. And I also wanted to talk to you today about your charity involvement as well. Would you tell us a bit about what you've been doing?
Yes. So we started a charity. I say we, I've just included myself in the royal we. Three ladies started a charity in South Africa called Asipo Admin. It was Anel Martin, Terry Wells, and obviously everyone knows Lucy Brazier.
Yeah.
It was the brainchild of Anel and Terry in terms of South Africa's got an unemployment rate of something like 35%. So one in three people are unemployed. If you look at the stats of young adults between the ages of 18 and 35, I think the stat is even more alarming, and it's sitting at something like 47% of them are unemployed. What we also have is it's quite scary. What we've also got in South Africa is we've got a high bracket of low to no income earners. We've got people that are obviously on state handouts or state money, and often the families are not only one of the average family in the world is probably four size.
Yeah.
In South Africa, the average family is probably sitting at about between 8 and 12, right, on the poor to low income. So what they decided was they were going to create a charity where we would give bursaries out to people who couldn't afford to study, particularly in the administration field. So it was called aptly named Asipo Admin. Asipo meaning the gift, and obviously admin because we focused on the administrative side of things. And every year for the last, what is it, since 2015, so what are we on, year seven, we've given bursaries to kids or young adults to further their careers. And it's not only the educational part of it, it's life learnings. It's gaining a mentor in one of the mentors that work with the SIPA. We've got a wonderful bunch of mentors, and I'm lucky to be one of them, that actually take each of the students under their wing for the year. And whatever that student needs, whatever information they need, whatever help they need, that mentor's there to help them, to guide them, to give them advice. And through donations from people all over the world, we're able to help these people. We've just, with this weekend past, we've actually just we did interviews, and we were able to give four young ladies the chance to further their careers or their studies. And what looking, sitting in that room and actually seeing their faces after you tell them that they've got the bursary, they can go and study, is something that you never forget. And it is something that will always stay with me, regardless of if I'm involved, if I'm not involved, or where I am in the world. I'll always think back to Asipo Admin as giving back to the nation in the small way that we can. I mean, we can't obviously provide hundreds of thousands of rands in sponsorship and bursaries. But what we do is, with the money that we get, we make sure that we use every last cent to help someone in their studies, which will then help them further their career one day, which will then help them uplift their families, and move them. I always say, move them out of that poverty line, move them above that poverty line, so that one day when they start working, they can actually earn a decent living. They can provide for their family. It also helps uplift their spirits and just get them out of feeling helpless and useless. It's a help up, and it's not a handout. Yes, we're paying for it, but we're actually helping you up. We're helping you get on your own two feet, regardless of where you come from. Again, diversity inclusion is one of our main things. Black, white, Indian, Chinese, whatever you are, male, female, the bursary is open to anyone. And it's so nice to be able to sit back at the end of the year and see their results come in and go, you know what? If it wasn't for ESIPO admin, these kids would have been either looking for jobs or sitting at home, not doing anything. So yeah, so that's ESIPO. It is something that touches my heart every single time I think about it. And when I speak about it, they can feel how excited and how passionate I am about it. So yeah, if anyone wants to know more, you'll obviously put the links up at the end of the podcast, and people can go and check it out for themselves.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds just tremendously emotional, choosing people to have the opportunity to have a different experience. And like you said, that knock-on effect with their families, and multi-generational effect of being able to earn and bring money into the home. It must be just incredibly, incredibly powerful moment to give people that opportunity.
No, it is. It is a very powerful moment. And I mean, while we were busy this weekend, I actually said to the ladies, I said, I wish we had a bottomless pit of money that anyone who came through the door and showed us that they want to really do this, we could help out. Because like I say, there's so many kids and there's so many young adults in South Africa that all they need is a hand up. They don't want a handout. They just want a hand up. Yeah. And if I wish we had enough money that we could just go, yes, 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 yes. You're all doing Oprah moment and say, you're all getting bursaries. You all get to go study. But yeah, it's one of those things that will stay with me for the rest of my life. And knowing that one day when I look on Facebook or I look on LinkedIn and I see that you've actually made something of yourself because of the opportunity we gave you, that's more than enough. Thank you. You don't have to say thank you to me. You don't have to come back to me ever, but just me being able to track your progression and see that what we've done has actually made a difference is more than enough.
That is gorgeous. Sherwin, it's been so fun to talk to you. Thank you for all your time and for sharing all your experiences. Thank you so much. It's been so brilliant.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been an honor to talk to you. And I hope that anyone listening, the 2%ers, I call them, get into the industry. And thank you to the 98%ers for welcoming us with open arms. And yeah, I look forward to chatting to you soon.
Thank you. How can people get in touch with you? Where do you hang out on the internet?
So I have got a LinkedIn profile. So if you look on LinkedIn, you can find me. It's Sherwin Weaver. And then I'm on Facebook. So you can get through me on Facebook. I am on Twitter, but I'm not that active on Twitter. So majority of my social media thing is through Facebook and LinkedIn. I'm very active on both platforms. And then people, if they want to get hold of me, they can drop me an email. It's sherwinweaver@gmail.com. And yeah, let's get chatting.
Thank you. I'm going to put all the notes to that, including Sherwin's email address, so that you can get in touch and details of the charity as well. Sharon, thank you so much. It's been really good fun. Thank you for your time.
I was so grateful for Sharon being so honest about his experiences as a man within our industry, and saddened that we haven't moved further forward. For details though of the Not Just a Girl's Job campaign, I will make sure that the information's in the show notes for you. And also you can find out more about Sherwin's charity work too by clicking on the link in the show notes. Hope you have a great week, and we'll be back next week.